we have begun the Holy Marathon, which we call also Holy Week. And of course, it is supposed to be a week of prayer and penance, sacrifice. And needless to say, I am the one who has to make the most sacrifices. It is not an easy week for the priests or the priests. In this case, just one. Would that we had 10 or 20 so that it could help along with the many, many things that have to be done in honor of our Lord, in honor of His Passion. But so it is. And it is what it is. God has deigned to grant me the grace. May He deign to grant me the strength. And may He deign to grant you the grace and the strength. Because it isn't supposed to be easy. It isn't supposed to be fun. But it is a wondrous and joyful experience. It is more joyful now than it was 2,000 years ago. Because 2,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became the Son of Man in the womb of the Holy and Immaculate Ever-Virgin Mary, came for this hour, for the hour of suffering, for the hour of penance, for the hour of death, so that there could be life. A week from today, we will be celebrating and singing wondrous canticles in praise of the same Jesus Christ. Today, we're singing sorrowful canticles in praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to Jerusalem, and He fulfills the rituals of the coronation of the King of Israel, of the King of Jerusalem. He is the King of Israel. And more, He is the King of the universe. And so He enters Jerusalem as was destined by God and His inspirations to the prophets and others who put this together. In the name of God, He goes in humbly on the foal of a colt, one that was so young it had never been ridden by anyone, and I am sure, like everything else having to do with Jesus, which is virginal, He is the Virgin God-man, the Son of the ever-Virgin Mary, and the putative Son of the ever-Virgin Saint Joseph, whose feast we just celebrated. Everything about our Lord. And of course, that should make us ponder and meditate and think about the fact that the virtue of purity, the virtue of chastity, to which every single person is called. Not all are called to be virgins, not all are called to be priests or nuns, but everyone is called to be chaste. And so, He gives us the example. He enters on the foal of a colt, never ridden before. And I would surmise, though I have never actually read it, but as St. Paul says, I also have an opinion too. That's why I'm a doctor of the church, of theology and philosophy. I have the opinion and the sure belief that this colt fulfilled his vocation, the reason for which he was created by God. And thus, after this tremendous, momentous event, when Jesus enters Jerusalem as its rightful king, the son of David. Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because he is the Lord. This colt then ceased to exist. He fulfilled his vocation, its vocation, to perfection. And of course, that reminds each and every one of us, or should, why did God create you? Why did God create you? Was it to enjoy life? Was it to have the best gadgets that ever are, the most expensive gadgets, the most beautiful and expensive automobile, and televisions, and furnitures, and furs, and jewels? No. Now, he may give those to you besides. That's up to him. He is God. He is in charge. But those things are not why he created us. He created us so that at the end of our lives on earth, after having served him faithfully and truly on earth, we may be able to enter heaven with him. And this is something that should be primal in our course of life. You are the colt, the foal of a colt. But not as good as the colt, because the colt never sinned while you do. But you are supposed to fulfill your vocation just as it did. And our Lord wants you to be holy, wants you to be in the state of grace, wants you to go to heaven. If possible, skipping all or some of purgatory, but we know that's very difficult. But as long as we make it to purgatory, we know that we will be in heaven eventually. And so we give thanks to God during this whole week, and we have placed this day by day in the bulletin, the things that happen on this holy week. It is a holy week. It's not spring break. It's not time to enjoy ourselves on the beach and look at people that are immodestly and indecently dressed and be tempted, put ourselves in the situation of temptation. It is a week of penance. We should attend the sacred liturgy every day, especially during the sacred triduum, when we celebrate the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of the priesthood, of Holy Communion. What, how wonderful our life is. And we are so privileged. I shocked a few people a few days ago. Some who think they know a lot, but they don't. When I pointed out to them, the greatest saint in the church, and of course, the Blessed Mother is the closest to God. Her throne in heaven is the closest to God, the Trinity. And next is Saint Joseph. And you are so privileged, you who are supposed to be the holy people of God, members of the mystical church. You have one blessing that not even Saint Joseph, the great Saint Joseph, had. Every single day you can receive Holy Communion. Every single day. There's nothing greater that we can have in this earth. And to think that you can receive Communion. St. Joseph died before the Eucharist was given, or the priest was given. And he was in limbo until Jesus Christ rose from the dead. on Saturday night. And then Jesus came and God, him and Adam and Eve and all the saints of the Old Testament and escorted them to heaven with Saint Joseph leading, who had been preparing them for 3 years since his death before the public ministry of Christ. But even in heaven, he cannot receive the Holy Eucharist. Just think of it. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Archangel Saint Gabriel. The angels are the closest creatures to God, except Mary, of course. They cannot receive Holy Communion. They never have, never will. But you can. Realize this. What a tremendous gift from God. What a tremendous privilege that you can receive in your body and in your soul. The body and soul, the blood and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. In this, we commemorate and we celebrate Thursday and Friday. Because what this is, and this is the difference between those who think that the Mass is a birthday party or a picnic and we should have a lot of fun. And there are some who do. I've been to some of those. This is a reenactment in an unbloody manner of the holy sacrifice of Calvary. That which we meditate each day in the holy passion of our Lord. So realize, and we go back to that Christmas morn many, many centuries ago, about 1700 years ago, when Pope St. Innocent the Great, St. Leo the Great, rather, warned the Christians of Rome at that time, O Christian, be mindful of thy dignity. Be mindful of thy dignity. Through baptism, you have been cleansed by the body and blood of Christ and received his Holy Spirit. And in the Eucharist, you can receive his body and blood, soul and divinity, in your body and in your soul. What a wondrous gift. O Christian, be mindful of thy dignity. And be mindful every day, but in a very special and particular way, be mindful of it this week. You and I are at war, not with each other, though there may be some who are, who knows. It is what it is, I don't really care. Mary and Jesus are on my side, so don't go too far with that. But you and I are at war with Satan and the minions of hell. Do not let him win. Do not succumb to his temptations and to his allurements. But rather, enter Jerusalem humbly on the foal of a colt, following Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the Son of God, the Son of David. O Christian, be mindful of thy dignity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.